If you wear glasses, you know the nice thing about taking the mask off is not only can you breathe, you can see. It's kind of nice to be able to have that happen. So Zachary's doing terrible in math, and his parents have been trying everything, okay? Special computer programs, they've gotten the flashcards, they've done tutors, they're doing everything that they can think of, and he's still doing terrible in math. And so finally, in desperation, they sign him up at the local Catholic school, which is known for a great reputation for academics, kind of like the SCORE Academy that Leanne runs. But this is a Catholic school, and so he goes there and he comes home from the first day and just a serious expression on his face. Goes straight up to his room. Books and papers everywhere spread out, and he's just slaying on this. They call him down for dinner. He has dinner with them, but instead of asking after dinner if he can go outside and play, he doesn't even ask. He goes straight back up to his room, studying away, going at it really hard, and he keeps doing this day after day after day. Every day he comes home, straight to his room to study. After dinner, straight back to his room to study, and the parents are like, what in the world is going on with our son? They can't understand it. The end of the grading period comes. Zachary comes home, quietly puts his report card on the table, goes up to his room, hits the books again. The parents go to the report card. They look at it. Zachary got an A in math. Oh my gosh, who knew? Who knew that this was even possible? They go up to the room and they go, Zachary, what made the difference? Was it the nuns? And he goes, no. Was it the teacher? No. Was it the textbook? No. Well, what made the difference? Why the improvement? He goes, on that first day of school, I saw that they nailed that guy to a plus sign, and I knew they weren't fooling around. Fooling around with the cross can end up in a lot of problems sometimes. You got to be careful about that. People thought it was foolish to use the cross as a symbol of suffering and shame and death, as a sign of salvation and the power of God, but they were deceived. They were deceived. Man is desperate for work. Desperately looking for a job. He hears there's these openings at the zoo, so he goes to the zoo. And the zookeeper explains, he says, yes, we do have a position open, but it's a little bit unusual. Our gorilla died, and we don't have the money to replace the gorilla. But if you're willing to put on a gorilla costume and play the part of a gorilla, the job is yours. Well, it doesn't exactly seem authentic, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and this guy desperately needed a job, so he agrees to do it. And the first few days, it's a little bit awkward, but after a while, he gets into it. I mean, he really, really gets into it. He becomes one of the star attractions of the zoo. And on a particular day, he's especially animated, swinging from vine to vine with much enthusiasm until he goes all the way past the vine, over the wall, into the next pit over, which houses a lion. He hears the lion's ferocious roar. He can hear it charging, and he panics, and he begins to scream, you know, help, 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 help. And the lion whispers to him, shh, you fool, or we'll both be out of a job. Deception can mess around with us. It messes around with us. I share that story because deception is everywhere. Society has become so filled with lies that it no longer can discern or even accept truth from fiction. And we have to speak out against the culture of deception. People were deceived about the perception of the cross as a symbol of suffering and shame and defeat. They did not see it as a symbol of wisdom or power or victory. They did not see it. They saw the sign, the cross, as a sign of foolishness and weakness. But the power of God is revealed in foolishness and weakness. Still, there are times when we forget. It makes no sense. And we are tempted to rely on our own expertise. We are tempted to rely on our wisdom and our strength and our power. And there's a danger when we try to substitute our expertise for the power of God. In the cross, we see that Jesus turns the expectations of the world upside down, making glory out of humiliation, making victory out of defeat, making life out of death. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Sometimes we might prefer a God who is like Zeus, hurling lightning bolts at the bad guys. But that's not the way God is revealed. God is revealed in a cross. Sometimes people try to change the shape of Christianity, making it a self-improvement course, how to be better or stronger or get what you want and enjoy what you get. But those messages don't have anything to do with Christianity. The shape of Christianity is a cross. I'm told that the heart of the city of London is Charing Cross. As I understand it, there is no longer a cross there. It hasn't been since like the year 1200, but you know, it's England. And it's not at a crossroads, it's a roundabout circle. About seven different roads all coming in, but supposedly all distances from the city are measured from that point, and so the locals just refer to it as the cross. One day a child becomes lost in the city and a police officer notices and tries to help him return home, and the officer asks the questions and various questions and trying to find out where the boy lives, but no luck. And finally, tears streaming down the boy's face, he says, "If you will take me to the cross, I think I can find my way from there." Isn't that a great description for Christianity? See, the cross is both the starting point of our new life in Christ, but it's also the place we have to return to time and time again to keep our bearings straight. Years ago, J. Barry Shepherd was the minister of the First Presbyterian Church in New York City, and he was carrying a chancel cross from the Iona Abbey in Western Scotland, and he was bringing it back to New York and going through, you know, to JFK Airport. He had to go through customs, and the custom, you know, this is way back in the day. He had carefully wrapped it in paper and pads and had it placed in the seat, you know, underneath ahead of him, but now it's time to go through customs, and he's got to bring it in through customs, and the custom agent asked him if he had anything to declare. And he said, "Only this cross." And the agent wrote down on the form, "Item of sentimental nature, of little or no value." Oh, man. Now, as far as paperwork for a custom agent, that may have been correct. But there is a danger when we think of the cross only in terms of a sentimental nature, or as a decoration, or as jewelry. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross is about God's power, but it's not a power that protects us from harm, and being good does not keep us safe. Look at what happened to Jesus. Jesus didn't do anything wrong. In fact, he did everything right. He was completely obedient, and yet he was crucified on the cross, suffered on the cross, died on the cross. He did everything right, and he was crucified for it. But the cross does more than just remind us of the crucifixion. It reminds us of the resurrection. It reminds us that God's power is beyond all understanding, that life is stronger than death because God can raise the dead, that our despair is only temporary because our hope is invincible, not because we know how to keep it alive, But because God continues to breathe new life into each of us with each breath. The power of the cross reminds us that the resurrection is not just something that happens to us at the end. God weaves the resurrection into our daily lives. The cross reminds us that hope and trust in God is more powerful than any force that tries to tear us apart. It's not about escaping death or even escaping pain. That's not how God works. God doesn't protect us from death or pain. God brings us back to life, back to healing, with the scars to prove it. Because life, not death, is God's will for us. And any time we find ourselves beginning to doubt it, all we have to do is look at the cross. The cross reminds us that we do not have to be ashamed to show God our weakness. God already knows it's there anyway. We can show God our failures, our flaws, and our shame, because there's nothing that we can show God that God's grace and mercy cannot and will not redeem. It makes no sense, but then neither does grace. Why would God love us when we mess up, screw up, foul up, trip up, and fail just about every way possible? Because that's who God is. It doesn't add up no matter how you do the math. It doesn't make any sense. But it does make life out of death, hope out of despair, and grace out of our sins. Amen.